Bro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. You know, it's funny. I just said this. It's now the week after the 4th of July. And I said, what happens after the 4th of July? It immediately turns into back to school. And what was the commercial that Lauren just did during her traffic? Back to school. Now I got to worry about reams of paper.
Why do they have to do that? That was always the most depressing thing about being a kid. It was like, it's still July. Why are we even talking
the
about
thought
school?
Of going right. back? Yeah.
Well, even August. I mean, it was always the beginning of August back in my day, because you know the kids had to come off the farm before they were allowed to go back to work. They were working the reaper until the plow season stopped, and then we all went back to the schoolhouse. But now it's like, because they got almost year round school. There are school districts that are going to go back in like 2 weeks.
What?
Yeah.
Brutal.
That's awful.
I know. Well, they get out though early, which is weird. They get out in April, and you're like, what are they doing in April?
Yeah, they should probably shift with our weather.
Yeah,
it's just cruel.
And we should just go back to a total farming economy. Send the kids back out on the plow and on the reaper and all the rest of the stuff. Have them do it. And then, always one kid in the fourth grade in the schoolhouse has only one hand. Hey, Bob Surratt, radio legend, has just stepped into the studio with us. Radio and television legend, I should say. WGN legend.
Nice to be back. I've been on a 5-year vacation from WGN, as you know. A lot of people didn't know I had that in my deal. So it's great to be here in a new studio and everything now.
Did you go to the... Did you go over to the Tribune Tower? Is that what you did? Did you immediately go there to come here and do this?
No.
That's what I kind of thought happened.
No, I didn't. I went over to... Do I look like I'm not up with the times? I went to 2501 West Bradley Place.
There you go. All right, now... Now, Bob, this is interesting. Surratt and Murciano with astronaut Jim Lovell. That's going to be running tomorrow night on Channel 11. Is that right?
Right.
At 10 o'clock?
As you know, because I know you were talking about it, PBS has been running this great ultimate history space geek series, Chasing the Moon. I think tonight is the last part
right.
of that.
Right.
And then tomorrow night at 10, we have this half-hour interview with Jim Lovell that we actually did in booth one of the old pump room, which for a time was reincarnated. Now I'm not sure what's going on there. I think WGN is moving in there next. But what was interesting, and I don't know, I think we're getting Marianne on the line,
yes,
and she'll
she's
talk
right
about
there,
this a little
yes.
bit. Marianne can talk about how we've interviewed Jim Lovell before, but this was really different. Wasn't it there, Mrs. Surratt?
Hello there, guys. How you doing?
Talk about why the commander was so different this time.
Well, first of all, he was so different. You know, Bob, you and I have interviewed him so many times, and he's always so scientific, and he's like, he's almost like a military guy.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, he's always had a good sense of humor. Right. I think on the old Fox thing in the morning show, we had him as a guest movie reviewer for Lost in Space. So it's not that he hasn't been a lot of fun to be with.
Because he was.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, he was.
Yes, as it turns out. He's only the only guy. He's one of the only guys ever to be lost in space and came back.
That's exactly
tell us about
right.
it. But hey, go ahead.
But the thing is that there's something about him. I think it's a combination of things that, it was the 50th anniversary, plus it was his 90th birthday. And I don't know, there was something like more spiritual or sentimental about him than I've ever heard before. And he was funny, and he was like, he was much more like spiritual, I guess is the way to describe it.
You know, he is considered to be not only just in the space program, but is you mentioned military. He was a military guy. He was a United States Navy captain, right? And one of the most important facilities for the health of military personnel is the James A. Lovell Center up in Waukegan.
He's very proud of that.
Yeah, and he should be. It's a VA hospital. It's an amazing facility. It was his leadership that got a lot of that stuff done, right? And especially
absolutely.
To this area.
But in spite of the fact that he's a great man, he flew in space 4 times, been married like I think 67 years now, I'm still mad at him, and Marianne can tell the story why I'm still irritated at Jim Lovell.
This has always bothered Bob, but then during this interview, he tells the story of exactly how it happened. But one of the times that he was in space, and I think that it was the time that he was going to the moon.
Apollo 8.
Yeah, Apollo 8. So he, I guess he felt bad because he wasn't going to be home for Christmas. So he had a fur coat sent to his wife, and you know, to be delivered, so you know, so that you know she wouldn't feel so bad about missing him, and whatever other reason he had. And yeah, Bob, you've been always very upset about that because it sets a bad precedent for guys like you,
wait,
right?
Hold on, hold on. Wait, it turns out, hold on. It does, first of all, Marianne. Don't be so dismissive of that. But this is, we have the clip here. Look, take a listen.
Before I went to the moon, I went to Neiman Marcus, and I knew the manager at the Houston thing, and I ordered a little mink jacket. She never had a mink coat before, a mink jacket.
Oh, listen to Marianne.
And I wrote on there to Marilyn Lovell from The Man in the Moon. Now, and they held it. And on Christmas Eve, on as we were circling the moon, a limo came up to our house, and a guy with a chauffeur's outfit on, and he brought this package, and it had a little earth, and it had a moon on it, and gave it to Marilyn, and she opened it up and said, you know, to Marilyn Lovell from Jim from Man on the Moon.
See, now, husbands everywhere have no excuse for missing an occasion like Christmas.
Okay, but someone can get a gift from the moon? Come on.
The most impressive part of that story is that he knew to go to Neiman Marcus because, Bob, do you know where Neiman Marcus is located?
It's around the corner from Target somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You know what? All right. Jim Lovell, you suck. And Marianne, you suck for bringing it up, too.
I didn't know you had him telling that story on the clip because, as you know, the press agents just throw us out here and they tell us to remember the name of the host is Rokan. And, you know, we're not sure about the clips that are here, so I apologize for that. The one thing
I can for remembering.
Bob will be freaking out about that for the next week. He'll be mad about that.
The one thing that is interesting in the show, and this we'll tease this one because he tells the story so beautifully. You know, after Apollo 13, he wanted to go back again. He didn't get to go on the moon, so he wanted to go back.
Right.
And
we should go actually explain Apollo 11 was a, they were looking for landing sites. That's
eight.
I'm sorry. Apollo right. 8 is, so he went up on Apollo 8 and they went around and they named Mount Marilyn. That's another
right.
thing he did, by the way. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about really being able to, I don't know what he was running from in the Christmas of that year, but I can tell you this. He got her a fur coat and Neiman Marcus and he named a mountain on the moon after her.
What did he do?
So whatever he did.
He was in the doghouse. Wow. Yeah, he did. Apollo 8, right, first time we went around the moon and the most dangerous mission, and as Jim Lovell says on the show Thursday night, the mission he was most proud of, the mission that was the most dangerous, the mission that Charles Lindbergh was most impressed with. Lindbergh watched the launch from a sand dune in Florida. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that was the mission Apollo 8, which kind of set the stage for what ultimately became the first moon landing. And Jim Lovell was on two Gemini missions and then Apollo 8 and, of course, famously Apollo 13. And it turns out, as he tells us, he loved Tom Hanks. He took Tom Hanks up in his private plane and he said it was like a 15-minute trip from the airport to where they were going. But Lovell made it about 2 hours with spins and dives to get him ready for the part. But he wanted somebody else to play him first, which is interesting. He wanted Kevin Costner to play him.
Oh, that's interesting.
And he talks about that a little bit, too. That Apollo 13 movie is
what happens when Hanks finds that out?
Well, I
should send that clip to Hanks and let him know.
Hopefully he's not in town and won't see the show on Channel 11 Thursday night. But Lovell is he's an amazing guy for many, many reasons. And I think that in all the times we've interviewed him, I've always asked this question, and I still didn't get a good answer, and I don't get a good answer Thursday night on the show either. But I say to him, you know, because he lives up in Lake Forest, mm-hmm. I say, Jim, when you're on the expressway and you're stuck in traffic and it's horrendous, and maybe you're up there and driving home in the evening or something, and you can see the moon and you remember your missions and you're stuck in the damn traffic here, don't you want to just, you know, roll down the window and holler, hey, everybody out of my way. I'm Jim freaking Lovell. And he never really responds to that question. I've asked him that question over the years, like 4 or 5 times, and he just says, man, I've never tried that, or I don't know if that'd get me anywhere.
I could just say this. As a guy who does that every night myself, it doesn't get me anywhere.
Oh, you've tried that.
Do you say
you're Jim Lovell?
No, that's even worse. Maybe, you know what? I'm going to try that. I'm Jim Lovell. Get the hell out of the way.
But
Kevin Costner should have played me.
There are a few surprises. Marianne asked him what his greatest accomplishment was, and it's a surprising answer. He doesn't say, although as far as space goes, it was Apollo 8, but he has some other thoughts about his greatest accomplishment.
Really? Apollo 13 wasn't? They got back alive?
No, he's proud of that, certainly. A successful failure, as they call it. But on 8, the Saturn rocket, that enormous ship that you need to blast off to the moon, I think was tested 2 or 3 times, and the test previous to the launch...
Yeah, it did not go well.
It vibrated so much, it almost fell apart.
Yeah.
And, you know, they moved up the mission on 8 because the Russians were rumored to be going to the moon.
Right, they want to get ahead of them.
So they move up the mission, it's dangerous, they have to train in a very short amount of time, and then they didn't know what would happen when they went around the moon. If the rockets failed, somebody said in NASA, somebody said, if this fails and you guys are stranded orbiting the moon, you will ruin the moon for the rest of us for the rest of time.
No pressure.
You won't be able to look at it.
Right. Nobody. That's a good point. That's a really, because if anybody had died on the moon, right?
That's
any Americans had died on the
exactly
moon,
right.
The moon, we'd literally, Trump would have made the moon illegal to look at. I mean, it's like, it is one of those things that when you think about the incredible high wire act of what they did do, I'm glad he told that story about 8, because that's one of the little known, if you watch all those space geek documentaries, and it's, you know, they're all over the place now, but what this whole week on Channel 11 has been amazing. Because we talked to the producer, writer, director of this this 3-part series it's on.
Yeah, it's an amazing.
It's so beautiful and so interesting. It's about 11. It's about Apollo 11. But we're now on the 50th anniversary of that coming up in a couple of weeks, or next week, I guess. But this particular, actually in 2 weeks or 10 days, right? That's the 20th, right?
That was the landing.
Yes, the landing. Mm-hmm. So this. The moment of 8 was really important, because we did have to get up there, because that was the first orbiting of the moon, the first time we got close enough to go around it and use its own gravity to catapult us back and see if that whole thing worked. That was the first for a lot of things, and these guys were setting up. And you know, you can go to the Museum of Science and Industry and you can see the conditions that these guys were living in, whether it was the Mercury program or the Gemini program or, of course, the Apollo program. And there are outhouses that are bigger, right, than what 3 guys are fitting into.
Absolutely. And, you know, Lovell was actually the backup to Neil Armstrong on 11. So if something would have happened, he would have been perhaps the first man on the moon. And Lovell was not supposed to fly on Apollo 13. Alan Shepard was scheduled for that, and he got an ear infection. So there are a lot of quirky twists.
Yeah, 13 had all kinds of weird things happen.
Yeah.
Well, obviously. the movie that Kevin Costner should have been in. Hey, Marianne, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Hanging in there. Summer. We have a child home from college. So it's one of those.
Yeah. That's fun.
Can't get her off the payroll.
Yeah, that's fun. I always enjoyed that.
Yeah, right.
They're home. Isn't this great? And then they're coming home at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you're like, hey, what is it? And then you're texting them at 2:30. Why aren't you home?
I know.
And, Dad!
But it's like they're a different person altogether when they come back from college that first year. It's like it's no longer sad. It's like, okay, well, you know, this will be over soon. We'll go back to the regular life of her away at college.
Yes. Yeah, right, exactly. And then you can't ask a question at breakfast. So how was last night? You can't do that.
Right.
No, it's not allowed. Well, like, where'd you go? Did you have fun?
Right. How can you even monitor how late they stay out, because you don't even know what's going on in college?
But it's so much better when you don't. It's so much like when they're in your house, you become responsible for them again, and they don't seem to understand that. And that's the problem. And then they're like, well, I got to ask because you're not home, and then I got to worry because when you're in college, I have no idea when you're home and you're not home or whatever. I, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And when I said out of sight, out of mind, she did not take that well.
Well, fortunately,
so what did you do about it?
Fortunately, my daughter has the ball gene, so I get to have a new tennis partner for the summer and a softball partner.
Oh, look at you.
So I'm happy.
Disneyland dad over here. Yeah. Well, meanwhile, Marianne's like, all right, now listen, you're going to have respect for this household. And you're going to clean up. I'm not doing your laundry.
No, she doesn't want me in the house because lately the only thing I do in the house is talk about outer space and Apollo missions and NASA. So she has to live with a space geek.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of other space programming, by the way. Tomorrow night, as we mentioned, Surat Marciano with astronaut Jim Lovell. That's at 10 o'clock tomorrow night. And then at 10:30, there's the POV shorts series Earthrise, which is images of Earth from space in 1968, which changed the world. Mm-hmm. When people actually got to see it, changed the way, and that is as big a, I think, a cultural influence as the music and the culture at that time, because it sent a message back to Earthlings that, you know, we're not as big a deal as we think we are.
Right. It's a small planet, and Bill Anders took that picture on Apollo 8 and Earthrise, the famous picture, and it. Many people say that started the ecology movement.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, because all of a sudden we had to look at it and we went, wait. And because we're not that big and we're also not that tough, mm-hmm. right? I mean, when you stop and you think about this little blue ball that we're on, it's not as protected as you think. And so it changed the perspective. It's the most important thing, I think, in a lot of ways that came out of the space program. It gave the perspective of humans on Earth that you know, there's a lot more going on out there.
Well, as you'll hear from Jim Lovell Thursday night, that scene of the Earth from Apollo 8 changed his life forever.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, watch this. Thursday night at 10 o'clock, you could say they got all kinds of programming over the next couple of weeks that are space-related. And if anybody's going to do it right, it's Channel 11. So that was it's very great.
I was just happy they let me back in the building.
That's really interesting. Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's funny. Now we're going to get them over at Fox for a few minutes and see what goes on. Maybe get them at Channel 5. Let's see.
Yeah, just keep going back.
Yeah.
Stick around long enough.
Right. Call LS. We can work the whole thing out. Yeah, you and I will go back together. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Good to see
you. Great talking to you.
Thanks, Marianne. Bye.
All right. Bye.
All right. Let's check in now and find out what's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour.
Roe, a 24-hour psychiatric emergency center now open in Chicago.
Oh, I could use that. Lawrence Traffic being brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems.